Please be seated, won't you? Well, good morning. So, this particular gospel begins a series of unexpected places that we might find God's kingdom. In other words, how we might have expectations that God's kingdom might work one way, and yet it really works another way. I don't know if you've ever been on a ropes course. Anybody? So a ropes course is often a leadership testing ground. It's a team-building event. It's a place where you go to sort of work out stuff. And there's sort of silly things they have you do. And they don't tell you all the rules or all the ways you can do it. And the idea is that you can go and take this upon yourself. And if you have a team of people, you sort of find out about the team, how people behave, how they work together, who the leaders are, different things like that. And you can, if you're training people, you learn a lot about how people behave. And a while back, I was leading different youth things, and one of the things we would do is we'd take peer ministers out, we would go do a ropes course to kind of give them a chance to work together and to watch them and to see what would happen. And there was one day we went out, and it was a great time of unexpected results. So the course is kind of simple. You start over here, and you have to get over here, your whole group. There's about 20 of us. And you have two boards, okay, that are about maybe 6 inches wide and a couple inches thick. And then there's little platforms. And you have to get across these 6 or 7 platforms, and you have these two boards. You have to get the whole team across. And the leader, the ropes course person says, okay, here's what you're going to do. You're going to take these two boards, and I want you to get from this platform to that platform, and you can't touch the ground. It never says that the boards can't touch the ground, by the way. It says you can't touch the ground, and if you touch the ground, the whole group has to start over. So imagine this with some teenagers. And, of course, naturally, the first people to step up are who, but some of the athletes and other people are like, we can do this, and they go about, they try to put the boards together. And they can't quite get it to work. They're not long enough to go from one platform to the other. So you have to use a combination. There's different ways to do it. And then if you start it off and you put them on top of each other, you can have one person standing there. You can put it on and get another person over and stand on it. And then they're trying to make it like a balance beam in there. And we start over about 7 times. Okay. And then another group of kids who sort of have been thinking about it the whole time finally start to figure it out. And they try a different way, and they want to set the boards, one board up on edge and the other this way, and we can send everybody over, and you hand the board over, but then they can't get the last person, and somebody touched the ground. So we do that about 7 times. And then finally, the unexpected leader says, why are we balancing the boards? He didn't say the boards can't touch the ground. Just put the board on the ground and walk across it. Right? So it was a moment, but what was most telling was it was the quietest person in the group, and it was the person that most of us would not have identified as a leader. That person waited until the right moment and sort of saw the solution, didn't get frustrated, and got the group to meet their goal. It was kind of a fun day, and lots of different things like that would happen as we would go through all these different challenges. You discover different things about people and how you had to work together. Sometimes you needed strength. Sometimes you needed brawn up here. Sometimes you needed real good teamwork. Sometimes you needed all kinds of different things, and you would find different solutions for that. I thought about that story when we hear this little piece of scripture from Samuel. And maybe you don't read all the cultural things that are happening in here, but the youngest is never supposed to be in charge of anything in that culture. If you're not the first male born, you really don't matter, because the first male often is the one to inherit the property, to lead the tribe, to become the king, and things like that. And so Samuel's there with Saul, and they're trying to identify who the new king is going to be. And they bring in everybody that is expected to be, and they go one son after another. And eventually they say, well, let's get the youngest. Where's the youngest? Well, the youngest had no expectation of being selected for anything, and is out tending the sheep. Now, there's nothing wrong with tending sheep, but they bring him in, they say, sort of ruddy, and he's attractive. He says, well, this is the one. And really, the point of the story, if you continue reading it, was David was the unexpected one. It was not the one that everyone would have thought, and yet David is the one that eventually leads the temple, builds the temple, gives us lots of different things to talk about because he's not always the best leader, but he has all kinds of things to talk about. And in much the same way in the gospel, Jesus begins teaching in parables. And he starts off talking about sowing seeds and wheat and all this. And he says, and then there's the mustard seed, which if you've ever seen a real mustard seed, they're not very big. And he says, and it's the unexpected seed that grows to its largest of the shrubs. Now, I haven't seen too many mustard plants. I don't think they grow too well around here. And so I haven't seen them, but I've looked them up before, and they really are pretty large shrubs. And so maybe what it is what is Jesus trying to get to? What is Jesus trying to get us to understand? I think sometimes we miss that Jesus can use any of our gifts, no matter how small or how large. Jesus can use any of our abilities, no matter how grand or how simple, to grow something. To grow something of the kingdom. And it can often grow in unexpected ways. During a ministry internship in Atlanta, we worked at a food kitchen that had grown into one of the largest homeless ministries in the country. It was through St. Luke's in downtown Atlanta, and eventually it was spun off from the church and had its own building. And it was 7 days a week, several meals a day. It was a post office for those who were homeless and medical center where they had doctors and dentists and others that would come in and provide care. They would have social workers that would help people who become homeless to try to get their identification back, all kinds of different things. And when we went there, they told us the story of how it grew. And it started with a small group of people having lunch together, making sandwiches, who decided they ought to do something about the people who were homeless. And so that particular group began making sandwiches and handing them out, and that ministry eventually blossomed into what it would become. Habitat for Humanity started in a very small way with some people wanting to make a difference for people who didn't have homes, but wanting them to participate in solving the issue. And it started with a few people going out and saying, hey, let's go build a house and invite them to help us build a house, and we'll see what happens. And most of you have probably worked a Habitat house at some point in your life. We don't think of that, but there's a way that God's kingdom sort of grows. We probably don't see the great family tree of the churches and how the churches have spread throughout the world and bring ministry to all kinds of different places. It's easy for ministers to get lost in their own church and think that they've discovered something, but if you begin to look around, you hear all kinds of miraculous things that are happening in congregations throughout our community and in the country where people are being touched and brought into God's faith and brought into the kingdom in all kinds of ways. Now, most of us might not be able to see quite that far. But there's another little parable that I think is sometimes helpful to think about. What is the result of saving one life? Anybody ever think about that? Sometimes we don't think of it, but we might think of a person's life as being small, or that's just one person. But the saying goes that if you save one life, you save the world. Because that one life can end up leading to hundreds of lives. That one life can end up leading to all kinds of other things happening. And it's an important way to understand how little things that we do can matter so much. So maybe the spiritual challenge in all of this is not to think of what God is doing as being quite so small. We never know quite what's going to grow and expand like we might think. But really, I think that God can use all kinds of people and all kinds of places and all kinds of things to do the work that God wants us to do. What seeds are you planting for ministry? What things are you doing, and where are you looking for the unexpected? I'll never forget when that group finished the ropes course. We went through 16 different stations, all of them, some of them very complex, some of them very simple. And later, many of those young people would become priests and ministers. They would go off and lead different things. Some would become a doctor. One would become a doctor, one would become a nurse. They would do all kinds of things. And in those little bit of time, not that doing that ropes course had a whole lot to do with that, but it was more what we began to see as evidence in their leadership. And one of the things that they did was they sat around a circle and they wrote a note to each other to say, what gifts did you see in this person this week? It was a couple of months ago that somebody called me and said, you know, I still have that note with me. It was 18 years ago that they did this. I still have that note with me, and it still matters, and it still gives me encouragement each day in knowing what I can do. So to me, when we hear this gospel, it might be not to get lost in the parable, but to hear what Jesus is saying to us, that even in a faith that is very small, God's kingdom can blossom. So maybe the challenge this week is to think of your own faith as that small mustard seed. And where will it grow, and what will it do? I kind of wonder what David thought when he was chosen, unexpectedly, and not in the right order. And what do we think when we're chosen to do the work that God gives us to do? Amen.